Ghost, no rapture. Ask your neighbor, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Ask four people around you. They must answer you. Oh yeah, answer, answer. Answer, make you answer. Amen. The greatest testimony any human being can give on earth, which is the reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. The greatest testimony is not from nothing you became a billionaire. There are wonderful testimonies. It's more than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest testimony is blessed assurance. Jesus is my. Oh, what a fountain of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Hallelujah. Several times that there are men of God you continue to refer to as powerful men of God, because when they move, you touch their shoe, you will fall under anointing. When they say take it, you must take something and fall down. We don't know what you are taking, but you must take something. Hallelujah. So anointed until they don't even use their mouth to cast out devils. They use their hand. Some even use their leg. Powerful. And everybody is looking at them that they are powerful men of God. Amen. I have told you this several times and I will continue to say it. So that you will not be misled. Oh, bride of Christ. Ask your neighbor, are you one of us? There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. With the fire that fails on Pentecost, which cleanses and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to you. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, I am one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
These people may not learn it, no boast of what we play. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm telling them both far away, this man is getting. Oh, I'm so glad. from sin. Now we stand and join the ringing, and we keep our soul up there. In this body now we be my heart, oh glory to you.
Hey!
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
One of them! That's the song for the bride. You can't be one of them if you have not received the Holy Ghost. You can't be one of them. Can't be one of us. I mean, one of us. Because me, I am going. I don't know who else. So. This heaven, I go go. This heaven, I must go. How many people can say that? This whole world can never hold me. Any moment I'll be gone. How many people can say that? For I've made my consecration. And one of the wedding garments that we put on is the revelation. Revelational truth for this hour. That is what prepares you for the rapture. Hallelujah. So that we can also, where we have been picking our text from, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, where Apostle Paul say, of the times and season, you have no need that I write unto you, because the bride of Jesus Christ, they are established. When some time ago, people were talking about the blood moon. How many people remember that? It was in the news all over. The eclipse. When the moon comes between the sun and the earth. And the reflection it gives during that eclipse is turning the moon to the very, very blood color. So it is called the blood moon. And mighty preachers. So there are two categories of men of God. One, there are those men you call powerful men of God. And as I was saying, the only powerful man of God, any man that you will identify as a powerful man of God, is not the anointing for miracles, signs, and wonders. We thank God for it. But the greatest power that exists on earth is the power that can transform an arm robber to a pastor. That can transform a prostitute to a daughter of Zion. The power that when you stand and minister, a sinner will repent. That is the highest power, greatest power on earth today. Unfortunately, that power is rare to find in this age. And people don't know it. Show me anywhere you see altar call and you see people crying again. Hallelujah. No, that's the truth. Because all the minister to the people are things that gratify the flesh. Nothing touches the soul. That is one category of people that are celebrated. Powerful man of God. Powerful man of God. And they are determined by the crowd that follow them. Amen. Hallelujah. The second group of people are those who pride themselves as escapologists. Yes. You saw how one grammarian at Oregu, Chris Okotie, hallelujah, he wrote one book some time ago. What did he call that book again? But that it was about the Antichrist, but there's a name he gave it. Who remember the title of that book? The what? There's a name he gave that book now. The Last Outcast. God bless you. That's the name. He titled it The Last Outcast. And before the classroom examination hall of the Holy Ghost, he failed minus zero in identifying the Antichrist. Nothing has no bearing with what the Antichrist is. Praise the Lord. Nothing like that. While they are busy looking at the blood moon, the bride, there's something else we are looking at. And see confusion. Gentile preachers, they are getting bothered about Israel getting converted. And they are saying all manner of things, taking revival there. They do this, they do that. Israel is now waking up, they are receiving Christ. Wait! There is a divine agenda. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is a way you feel so much for them until you want to go. William Bryan had that same kind of feeling. Because he met a Jewish rabbi somewhere in America. And when he saw him preaching that there is nothing like Trinity, it's one God, then he saw him again with a messianic sign in discernment and an unusual anointing around him, the Jewish rabbi then told him, he said, if you go with this sign to Israel, they will believe. He said they will believe. Praise the Lord. And what they did? They went there. Don't worry about that, we're going to knock out. Just concentrate here. Maybe they are celebrating something at the back there. And to start with, there is a canal that separates heaven from hell. Praise the Lord. Now listen very well. So concentrate here. Praise the Lord. So he felt he should go. He took a flight all the way from America and landed in Egypt. His last flight now, connecting flight from Egypt. As they made the announcement for that flight, he was going to board the flight when the Holy Ghost spoke to him. Come down. Come back. Go back home. It is not yet their time. Praise the Lord. It's not a Gentile that will go there to open their eyes. It has to be a Jew. So now they type the blood moon, to be saying that when it happens maybe once in a century or something like that. When it happens, something monumental always takes place in Israel. And within this year, it is expected to happen 4 times, which has never happened before. So they believe that as it is happening now, it means Israel will soon be having her Messiah. Church, the Bible did not tell us to look at blood moon. And to start with, you, the Gentile, when Apostle Peter made this statement, when he said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure, he is telling you to first
Concentrate and make sure you are saved before you think of another person. For now, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is an agenda that God is following. The bride of Jesus Christ is watching those fulfillments. I want to try to conclude this, and I will rush it. I won't go into details. I'll just tell you this happens this time, this happened this time, this happened this time. And I'll give you scriptures so that we can close this matter and enter our Holy Ghost from next week. Praise the Lord. This night I want to round that up. I'll just tell you step by step. After this, this should happen. After this, this should happen. After this, this should happen. From now until we enter eternity. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, please, we have been taking this for more than three Sundays or so now. About four Sundays. And we should be looking at the final part, which may be part five today. Try and get the tape and listen to all we have been saying. God, concerning salvation, it is God's own business. It is God's own business. I was counseling a sister yesterday who got so worried by virtue of the abundant revelation she's having, and then people are telling her that she's not working enough for God. She's not doing what, she's not working enough for God, and she's getting very, very worried over it. What else will I do? What else? And she's really disturbed. I said, sister, sit down. Take it easy. Nobody can help God. Do you understand? Nobody can help God. Hallelujah. All you want to do is you just position yourself and say, here am I, use me. That's all. And nobody can resist God when God wants to use you. Do you get what I'm saying? You cannot help God, neither can you resist to use Him. Go and find out from Jonah. Amen. And don't think that you are doing God a favor by worshiping Him. He said, if you refuse to worship Him, God is more than able to raise stones. Stones will worship Him. So don't think that He is looking for people to worship Him. He has billions of angels that He created to be worshiping Him only. So whether you serve Him or not, He has angels that will worship Him. Amen. So don't let people who see revelation and they don't know the interpretation to scare you. Oh, you are not doing enough for God when you know you are trying your best. Now, because salvation is God's own agenda. And in fulfilling this agenda, it's so interesting. You have to follow it very carefully. You know, if you follow it, I'm telling you, you study how God works. Every day you will see how mysterious He is. There are so many questions that God has to answer the day we go see Him. Maybe that's why they hide Himself. You know, let us see Him. Because I know some of you here, from morning till night, will never ask and finish. I deserve you. Up till now, no husband come. See that prostitute there, where they jump from so. Go from here. If they change husband like water, me where they serve you, oh yeah, tell me why. No, if you see, would you ask Him that? When I stayed for so long, 20 years, up to 20 years before I got a child, but within that period, every time I go sit down, I go say, God, you know why you don't let me see you? The day I see you, what do you see for the hand of Jacob that day will be small. I will hold you till you answer me. Amen. He's so mysterious. Until Apostle Paul, in trying to make us understand Him, he said He uses foolish things to confound the wise. You see? Foolish things He will use to confound the wise. And watch all men that God has used monumentally. You watch. 90% of all of them, we are uneducated. Uneducated. That's why when you come to this church, I have told you before, in the denomination they told you that you have to go to a Bible college before you can be a minister. That is their own condition, not the condition of the scriptures. God is not a grammarian. So he doesn't need your grammar before he can use you. So where is Bible school? Praise the Lord. I don't go to Bible school. But I'm teaching doctors of divinity the simple rudiments for salvation. They can't know. Ordinary water baptism, they can't catch it. Praise the Lord. So, we saw through this study that there is nothing happening that took him by surprise. We now understood why we see in the Bible that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world. Why also it said we are predestined, hallelujah, before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says so. Amen. That is, you are not, that there is a book of life with names of people that he will save. Those names we are written down before the people fell. Before Adam and Eve fell, out of the 6 billion people that will populate the earth, from those 2 people, he already knew who will be saved and who will not be saved. That's why we say, you cannot be saved today and tomorrow lose your salvation. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. That's the mystery. Because he's not saving by gamble. And the problem is sometimes you think you are saved when you are not saved. And that's why it is necessary to be sure that you make your calling and election sure. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Praise God. There is a divine agenda. And the purpose of this study is to let you know how short the time remains for us to go. We got that key as we reach Daniel chapter 9. Can we read it now? I told you I am going to rush it. Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 9. From verse 24. This is where we are making reference. 70 weeks, okay. Some people may be hearing it for the first time. We know that they were in captivity in Babylon according to the prophecies that Jeremiah gave in Jeremiah chapter 25. And shortly after that prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar, according to the prophecy, came, gathered them, and destroyed the temple, destroyed everything, and killed some of them, into slavery. And the prophecy said they would stay for 70 years. And they were in that captivity when verse 2, Daniel chapter 9, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And like we spoke in earlier parts of this message. Amen. Don't bother, don't worry. If you see anybody sleeping, it's either a tear or a foolish virgin. Just leave them. They all have their place. They are here in the Bible. They are all in the Bible. Oh no, they are here. They are all in the Bible. Everybody sitting down here, we can trace you to this Bible. You are there. How do we know them? By their fruits. You know them. You see anybody sleeping, it's either a tear, that is, you are a goat, not a sheep. You are not wheat. You are meant for firewood in hell. So you don't care to know what is God's plan for you. Yes. So leave them, don't wake anybody. Coordinator, leave them. When I finish, they will wake up by themselves when a prophet collects microphone. Because that's the only reason they came here. But the bride of Jesus Christ, can you shout amen? How many of you are here? Can I see your hands? Put down your hands. The foolish virgins, can I see your hand up? How many? Foolish? The goats. Goats. Firewood tears. Everybody here is a sheep. Oh my. Answer me, let me hear you. Sheep. Amen. We don't know any other thing than amen. 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 Drop your trouser. Amen. Don't paint. Amen. Don't palm your hair. Amen. Don't abuse your husband. Amen. Don't beat your wife. Don't steal. Don't fornicate. Dress like a Christian. But the goat will call. They will tell you, but show me in the Bible, but it is in the hearts. Not the outward, it's in the heart. That's how goats talk. Praise God. So sleep on. When we finish, you can join us later. You are the one that will lament. Oh no, had I know. Can I go on now? Praise God. Okay. So Daniel suddenly realized that this captivity that we are in is not forever. It's supposed to be 70 years. Then he took the books and began to study. And before you know what, he discovered that out of the 70 years, they had spent 68 years, remaining 2 years. And I've said it that Daniel is a type of the bride of Jesus Christ. The gospel left Israel and came to the Gentiles. It will not last forever. It will go back to them. How long will it remain with us? Nobody has bothered to study that. Every day, he's coming soon, until scoffers, 2 Peter chapter 3, began to say, where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers went before, since those days of apostles, he's coming soon. Amen. But suddenly, a group of people now wake up. They got a message and trace like Daniel to discover that through the coming of the Lord for us to go in the rapture is remaining very few years. Like Daniel in Babylon. So Daniel began to pray. And while he was confessing the sins of his people, and while he was praying, can we read it now? Verse 20. Daniel chapter 9. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, that is an angel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." And let me tell you, this skill and understanding was not given to the whole of Israel. He came specifically only to Daniel. And it was an angel that brought the skill and understanding. Take note. It was an angel, take note, that brought the skill and understanding. You know why I'm stressing angel? You know, when we are talking, the bride will just understand what we are saying. Because we are in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. When he shall begin to sound, begin to give his message, the mystery should be finished. The mystery of God should be finished. Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. And I'm come to show thee, oh, thou art greatly beloved. Say, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. So we are going to understand it now and consider it. 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Six things to be accomplished within 70 weeks. And these 70 weeks, we saw, it is 70 weeks of years. 1 week is 7 years. 70 weeks, therefore, will be 70 times 7 is prophetic language. 490 years. God had a program that will last 490 years to accomplish those 6 things which closes with the anointing of the Most Holy. And it will take place within 490 years, otherwise known as take place within 70 weeks. Then the time now, when the 70 weeks will start, when the 490 years will start, know therefore, I understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Hallelujah. That is how many weeks? That's how many years? 483 years. Praise the Lord. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, that is, remember the first one is seven weeks, which is how many years? 49 years, 7 times 7, then plus another 62 weeks, which gives it 69 weeks. The first stage of it is 7 years, then after 7 years, count again another 62 weeks, which is 434 years. 7 times 62. Praise the Lord. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. That cut off there, that means out of the 70 weeks, when 69 weeks is complete, the Messiah will be cut off. And he was cut off in AD 33. Praise the Lord. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the world desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the commandment was given to Nehemiah by King Artaxerxes in Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 5. Exactly as the prophet prophesied. And we have spoken at length on that. But I want to, where we have reached and we have been emphasizing, that is the one that concerns us so much, is that according to the timetable, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When it came to 69th week, you either listen or you carry your Bible and write, but I prefer you listen, you can get the tape. And then sit down, listen carefully, and go through the scriptures, because there's no time to read the scriptures here, but I will give you the scriptures. Between the 69th week, after the 69th week, they rejected Jesus Christ. He was cut off. And according to calculation, it's exactly 445 BC. That is when the commandment was given. Calculate it up to AD 33. Taking into consideration, like I said the other day, in your calculation, always know that AD, the calculation of time from AD, we always say it's after the death of Christ. It is not the death of Christ, it's actually the death of Herod. AD is after the death of Herod. And so that's why Christ was killed AD 33. Not, if you say after the death of Christ, then how do you get AD 33 again? So 33 years after he died, now he died. Amen. So you have to, there is a little gap there. Some the historians try to place it like that. But whatever it is, try to calculate it, and you have to believe us. We will not stand and tell you any lies, because it is the picture we want you to catch and not the mathematical precision. But even if you take time to go into the mathematical precision, you will discover exactly, it was exactly 483 years from 445 BC when that commandment was given. It happened exactly as the angel told Daniel. Praise the Lord. And once they killed him, they rejected salvation automatically. They rejected their Messiah. Then the 70th week, which is the last week, was suspended according to God's agenda. And between the 69th week and the 70th week, he now used that period to come to the Gentiles to get himself a bride. That's how we came in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That getting of a bride is what Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 9, he called the mystery of God. How that the Gentiles that we are dogs, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, the Gentiles, uncircumcised Gentiles, idol worshippers that had no covenant, had nothing to do with Abraham, now they receive salvation, not just receiving salvation, but they receive a higher position than Israel. That is the mystery. Remember, he said the first shall be the last. The last, the Gentiles, shall be the first. That we go in the rapture. Why? Because they rejected him. It is that mystery. If you are writing it down, I'll give you some scriptures. But Apostle Paul explained in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 to 27. Romans chapter 10, verse 19 to 20. Isaiah 65, verse 1. Isaiah 56, verse 8. John chapter 10, verse 16. Let me call the scriptures again. I started with Ephesians 3, verse 1 to 9. Then Romans 16, verse 25. Colossians 1, 25 to 26. To 27, sorry. Romans 10, verse 19 to 20. Isaiah 65, verse 1. Isaiah 56, verse 8. John 10, 16. And finally, he achieved this through what Apostle Paul explained in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 22. He reconciled us by Christ. Amen. Apostle Paul therefore went to explain in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, where he said that blindness in part has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming. He said blindness in part because it is not forever. He blinded them so that we can come in. And he said he did it to provoke them to jealousy. And the beginning of the gospel coming to the Gentiles was with Peter, whom Christ gave the keys to the kingdom, when he went to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost that came upon the Jews, 120 Jews in the upper room, came upon a Gentile, Cornelius. And Peter said, these people have received the same spirit we too have received. What stops us from baptizing them? And they baptized his household in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. The next time we see that effectively done, and finally and more effectively done, because the dispensation was committed to Apostle Paul, not Peter. Peter was to the Jews. Apostle Paul was for the Gentiles. We saw it in Acts chapter 13, verse 44 up to verse 50. He says, seeing that you count yourself unworthy, the gospel was meant for you, but you count yourself unworthy, lo, return to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Turn to the Gentiles. And that is exactly what we see, that God was foreshadowing, typing in some stories in the Old Testament. The story of Joseph. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. Everything that pertained to Joseph in that story was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Amen. He was loved by the Father. Special coat was made for him of many colors. And he was spiritual, more spiritual than his brethren. And he had a dream that he would be a king, and all of them, including his father, his mother, all the brethren, they will bow before him. And he was always having a dream, and he would tell his father. But this time, his brothers had to say, this one too much. And they planned to kill him. If you read the story of Joseph, you see nothing but the story of Jesus Christ. And so he was rejected and sold to the Gentiles. Entered the prison yard. False accusation. Everything. Amen. Where they rejected him from his brethren, a Gentile nation made him a king. Is he not our king today? At the mention of the name of Jesus, what happens? But they are not bowing at that name in Israel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And while he was there in Egypt, in the Gentile nation, he got himself a wife there. Amen. And that's the story we use to be sure that the gospel will only go to Israel after the rapture has taken place. Why? According to that story of Joseph, when it was time to reveal himself to the brethren, his brethren that came, where was his wife? She was in the palace. To tell you that the Gentile bride will be up there in heaven when God will turn and reveal Jesus Christ to the Jews. The rapture has taken place. Aren't you happy? Aren't you excited about that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. And that is, we see another type again in the story of the book of Esther, chapter 1 and chapter 2. King Ahasuerus had a wife, Queen Vashti. Queen Vashti, the king made a feast and wanted to show his wife to his guests, his queen. But she made Nyanga and refused to come. Amen. The king there is a type of God the Father. Praise the Lord. That prepared salvation for Israel. To show the whole world. But they rejected the salvation. And King Ahasuerus decided to divorce Queen Vashti. And decided that they should go anywhere and look for a queen that will replace Vashti. Is the queen here today? Vashti. Amen. And that is when they went round. God, everyone, we have taken that sermon before. I'm just summarizing this because that chapter 1 and chapter 2 is 2 hour sermon. To let you know how privileged we are. Hallelujah. And so, we know how Esther eventually qualified. I'm not going into those details. Esther is a type of the bride. A slave woman. Slave became a queen. Slave woman became a queen. Gentile dogs. Jesus told that was a Phoenician woman. It's not proper to give the children's meat to dogs. He said, I did not come back for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Say, don't come for now. But Jesus says in John 10:16, he said, there are other sheep besides these ones. He had me in mind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As the same thing Jesus Christ was giving that parable, Matthew chapter 22, reading from verse 1 to the end, verse 14. The feast was made. Those that the feast was made for refused to come. The governor of the feast got angry and sent his servants to go by the highways and gather all. And they gathered both good and bad. Both armed robbers and womanizers. Gentiles. We are the ones that know the meaning of grace. I once was lost, but now I am found. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. And it was garnished, furnished. We are the ones he's referring to there. He made it clear also in that parable in Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. And this 1 week period, is broken into seven church ages. That is what we see depicted there by those churches. I spoke about that last Sunday and last two Sundays. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. The seven church ages. Each, the message was given to the seven churches in Asia, but was given to the angels to those churches. And those churches in Asia were selected because they had characteristics that will reflect what each of these seven church ages we go through. Jesus Christ also made it clearer by the narration of Matthew, those seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. Each parable was speaking about the seven, each of the seven church ages, what we go through. Very interesting that God opened our eyes to see this so that we know we are not following fables. We are on the right track. It makes the picture of salvation clearer and clearer and clearer. So that you know you are traveling on the right road. Hallelujah. And this Bible becomes more meaningful to us. Amen. Hallelujah. And each of these seven churches in Asia had messengers that God gave them message for that age. They are typed in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, and the seven golden candlesticks in the right hand of Jesus and the seven stars. And verse 20 gave us the interpretation that those seven golden candlesticks in his right hand, that they were the seven churches. Talking about the seven church ages. That's why I told you, anytime you see in a revelation, you see a candlestick, it may be speaking about your church. Light is burning, suddenly the light went off. It means there's no more light in your church. Better pack your Bible and go. No more light. There's no more burning. Something has quenched the light. And the only thing that quenches light is worldliness. When prosperity enter, love for money, fornication, adultery, sin, generally, that light will go off. And you remain in darkness. The stars there They are the seven messengers. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And those seven messengers that prepare the bride in every age, that is what was typed by the marriage of Rebekah to Isaac. Abraham, the father of Isaac, the son, sent Eliezer to go and get a wife for his son Isaac. Isaac, a type of Christ. Abraham, a type of God, the father. Eliezer, a type of the seven star messengers. Each messenger for each age to get a bride for Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is to last, the gospel will be with us broken into seven dispensations. All theologians, they agree on this. Hallelujah. Seven church ages. And remember that the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ, is also referred to as the temple of God. Amen. And the Gentile church that will be completed, the building of the church will be completed in 7 years, was typed by Solomon's temple in 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 38. The Bible says that it took 7 years for that temple to be built before the Shekinah glory came down. It's speaking about the church. Hallelujah. And that is what Apostle Paul also explained in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to verse 20, where he says, we're talking about the building of God, and that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Hallelujah. Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And remember that Solomon's temple, very interesting, something you must catch there. The father of Solomon was who? David. Because he was prevented from building the temple, he gathered all the materials for that building. And take note that the materials, they were made, the building materials, the building was made of materials that we have got from all over the world. Hey, hallelujah. Talking about the bride of Jesus said that we come from all over the world. And take note. Amen. When the building was going on, the Bible says throughout, there was no chisel, noise of chisel that was heard. Why? David had already designed the temple, made the stones and the building materials where each one was to fit in. So when it was time for any stone to be in any place, it was already available. Speaking of predestination. Hallelujah. And that's why I say you have to understand that this whole thing called the body of Christ is God himself that is building it. And if you understand from my teaching on the body of Christ, I'm telling you, all these pastors that make their ministry one man show, only them minister there, is because you don't understand the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You don't understand. And also, you the ministers that God is using you, give them brother, give them sisters. If you understand what I understand as the body of Christ, you will never be jealous of another person. It's a deep thing. No matter how I've explained it in this ministry, you still see jealousy among gifted people. It's because you don't understand. You've not understood that you cannot take my place. I have been prepared to fit into what I am doing now. Hallelujah. And don't tell me to go to Bible school before I come and fit in. God himself, from the foundation of the world, has prepared me. At the appropriate time when he gives me the Holy Ghost, I only come and fit into the body. Yeah. And be doing my own. Are you to do your own? And if you leave your own, you are doing another man's own, then there will be schism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 25 He said, can we read it? You are telling me to preach it. I've been preaching it here. But people don't understand. I admire the prophets. They have a gift that I don't have, though I desire it. If there is a place I know where to go and get it, I would have gone to get it. But you can't get it anywhere. He chooses who to give. He chooses who to give. Amen. When I see these prophets here who don't know how to speak English, and yet they fly, they enter deep, shake their head, they're inside already. And they are seeing everything. Me with my big grammar, God will not give me that gift. With your big grammar, he not give you. Somebody like Prophet Boboye, if you see him carry Bible, one send note to you. You don't know whether that Chinese language they write. Oh, na Yoruba. Chapter 12. This is the way he put it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read it from verse 12. For as the body is one, this one body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one spirit, are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Praise the Lord. Brother Patrick here. Brother Patrick, my interpreter. Is he around today? Brother Patrick is not around. Brother Patrick, come now. I'm sorry, I have some French ministers here. I'm sorry. I'm talking big grammar. Pastor Thomas, you're not hearing me. And Pastor Zhu, you're not hearing me well. Somebody is going to discuss with you here now. Sit down, sir. Sit down. No, sit down. Patrick. Comment ça va? Bien. Merci beaucoup. Sit down here. No, you don't need me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Which verse are they, sir? Amen. Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Somebody shout, as it has pleased him. Not be we, the desire. Because there are two offices people like to occupy. Pastor, so that they go chop tight. And prophet, so that they can do the thing, what they do? Money. I never see teacher. I know they see evangelist. God is calling you. Everybody say, God is calling you. What is in his mind? Now, pastor. As if the only pastor the office in the body of Christ. And if they were all one member, where we are the body. But now, are there many members yet? But one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon this we bestow more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has pampered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That is where I am going. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I've taken time to take this message several times before for us to understand the body of Christ, so that you understand why I am different from so many people, so many ministers, so many pastors you know. I'm telling you, it is an understanding. So my emphasis here is, like Solomon's temple, the body of Christ is built by materials that have been provided by the Father. Amen. And that building is going on now. By one Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we read verse 13, are we baptized into the body? Once you come into the body of Christ, you come in there as a functional member. You are either, that is, one body of Christ. Apostle Paul is using our body. One body called Moses, but Moses is made up of many parts of the body. But it is one body. So is Christ. One body made up of members. Not members that are sitting there in a church. Oh. Eh? Praise the Lord. And the gifts you have determine which part you are in the body. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, he spoke about every joint supplying something to the body. Therefore, if you are born again, you are not redundant. Every born again Christian has a ministry supplying something to the body of Christ. Amen. And if you stay in your calling, which is determined by the gift God has given you, dear, God will bless you. There, you will prosper. There, you will have peace. There will be no confusion. There will be no schism. Praise the Lord. That is why I always announce, I am not a prophet. Because I want to stay where God has kept me. And I am not an apostle. Neither am I a chief. Whether chief apostle or lead apostle, whatever it is, I know my part. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if for any reason, a time comes when God will say, oh yeah, now go and I will use you in a certain other area. If I refuse to go, because if I come up from here, and then, who will come take over? Alive. From the day I refuse to go, my ministry is over. From that day, anything I do, I'll be using my chukwe chukwe sense. There will be no more backing by God for anything. It will be confusion, fight. That's how many people are suffering from. Wait and see. May time come when God will give me opportunity to prove it. If I hear direct from God, and I'm sure it's God speaking, that I should live here and go and do another thing, go anywhere else, I will move without nothing, not thinking twice over it. Nothing like that. And that's why I've arranged this ministry in such a way that It does not revolve around me. Whether I'm around or not, it's deliberately done. Whether I'm around or not, it does not disturb anything in this church. It will not disturb your finances. It will not disturb any work. It will not disturb nothing, nothing, nothing. It's not the church where pastor no day, they don't approve anything. They don't have no money, nothing. It's not, this is not that type of church. We arrange this church in a way that even if I live here for 1 year, nobody will know, say pastor no day, unless those idolaters that are delighting, Pastor Moses no day, then today's service, and they go home, and they go home. You're an idolater. Now Moses, you they can't see, you're not coming to see Christ. Praise the Lord. We are too revelated to go the way that others have been going. God has raised people like me to judge other people. That there can be somebody that will sing, where he leads me, I will follow. Yes, where he leads me, I will follow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was using that to explain the fact that the temple was built with materials from all over the world. And also, knowing that God is perfected in seven church ages, the seven church age angel that says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, Revelation 10:7. Why? Because seven is God's number for completion. Amen. And it was a type. Hallelujah. Jude verse 14 says, and Enoch, the seventh, from who? From Adam. What happened to him? He ascended. He went in the rapture. He was speaking about the rapture taking place in the seventh church age. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's true now. Even in our salvation, we have the statue of perfection. The statue of a perfect man. There are seven virtues there. Am I correct? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Where Peter said, add to your faith what? Virtue. After virtue, add to virtue what? Knowledge. Then what? Temperance. Add to temperance, patience. Add to patience, godliness. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And after bodily kindness, charity is the seventh one. You become perfect. Praise God. The Gentile dispensation now. How long will it stay? Yes, we say it will last through seven church ages. But it will also last until, according to Luke chapter 21, verse 20 to 24, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Talking about the time that he, God, allow those Palestinians and all those Arab nations to stay there. They are still occupying part of their land there. After what happened in AD 70, until they came back in 1948. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We saw that, we see that. They are coming back to their land. We fulfill Isaiah chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. How long? Romans 11:26, where we quoted earlier, until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Until the last Gentile bride member whose name is written in the book of life receives the Holy Ghost. Oh yes. And only God knows that person. And since we don't know who is to be saved and who is not to be saved, we will continue to organize Holy Ghost program until the rapture strikes. Praise the Lord. But we have a better key in Hosea chapter 6. Hosea. Chapter 6. Hallelujah. Now, verse 1 and verse 2. This is the prophet saying, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Listen, church, we have a key here for those of you hearing it for the first time. He said, he has torn us to pieces. He said, but he will heal us. He has smitten us. When did that take place? When they rejected Jesus Christ, they crucified him. In AD 69 and AD 70, that Roman general, exactly as was also prophesied by Daniel, in that same Daniel chapter 9, they came to the city and destroyed the city. Scattered that place, burnt down the whole Jerusalem. Threw all of them, scattered them in the whole of Europe. And they remained in diaspora like that until 1948, when the nation was recognized again and asked to come back. But they have not all come back yet. Praise the Lord. When he said that he will bind us up, when? He said, after 2 days will he revive us. The 2 days, praise the Lord, is 2,000 years. The key there is 2 Peter chapter 3. I think verse 8, where he says, one day, 1,000 years is one day before the Lord. So 2 days before the Lord will be how many years? 2,000 years. So how long will the gospel be with the Gentiles? It will last 2,000 years. From the time they were smitten, which is AD 70. So, it gives you a key. Count AD 70 to the present day, AD 2014. Don't use the Roman calendar or what they call the solar calendar, but use the Julian calendar, which is the Jewish calendar. Jewish calendar is 30 days in a month. 365 days in a year. But the solar calendar, using the solar system to determine the days, some days are 30, some 31, some 28. We even have leap year. Amen. That's why we have 365 and is it 3/4 days? So it means you have to get the solar calendar. Divide it, I mean break it down to days, and then convert it to 30 days in a month. Multiply it to get the years, and before you know what, you will discover that bringing it down again, reconverting it, the days remaining, you discover that the 2,000 years is remaining very small. I'm giving you the key of how to calculate it. By the time you calculate it, you just find out there's a little just about 30 something years left. But we are not given date or time. But we are saying it gives us key enough for us to make our calling and election sure. Because anything can happen now within the remaining period. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this 2 days is confirmed by parable that Jesus Christ spoke concerning the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is the story of redemption. Not the way they teach you in your Sunday school when you were small Sunday school. Where they teach love. Good, teaches love, but there's something deeper there. A man that was leaving Jericho. Is it Jericho for Jerusalem? Is it Jerusalem for Jericho? Jerusalem for Jericho. On his way, he met robbers there. He's talking about how man fell and reduced to what we are today. Satan, witches and wizards, finish us. See how children, imagine how it would have looked like if Adam did not commit what he committed. Amen. And the Bible says in that parable that while he lay there helpless, a priest came, saw him, he could not help him. A Levite came, saw him also, he could not help him. What is he speaking about? God, in trying to help man, he gave him the law. The law could not help man. Until a good Samaritan. Why Samaritan? Because the Jews reject Samaritans. What Jesus is to the Jews is exactly what the Samaritans were to the Jews. They hated them. He came and saw him and cleaned up his wounds. For by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he took him to an inn. And the inn there is the church. Amen. And gave him to the innkeeper. The innkeeper is a fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body. Oh, glory be to God. And told him to take care of him until he comes. And how much did he give him? He gave him 2 pence to take care of the patient that he left in his care. And that 2 pence, in another parable in Matthew chapter 20, we see that the wages for a laborer, one day, how much is the wage for one day? 1 penny. So, if he gave the innkeeper 2 pence, it means the innkeeper is going to take 2 days to take care of that patient. 2,000 years. Fivefold ministry. Taking care of the body of Christ. Blessed.